We were really blessed at Melrose to have some exceptional young people who Pastor Mike and myself have had the opportunity of working with and alongside. And we've done this a couple times now, but I always really look forward to this. And I hope you as the church realize that this is not something you see very often happening up front in person on a Sunday morning. This is really, this morning is really the result of discipleship working as what we believe God intended it to, where we have a mission to equip followers of Christ to go out and be able to equip others to do the ministry that Christ has called us to. So this morning, you get the privilege to hear from two of our young men who've worked really hard at preparing a message for today. And so they're going to be talking specifically to you about being strong and courageous. And so I just want to pray for them right now. Let them come up, and they're going to do that. And we look forward with anticipation to see how God's going to teach you today through what he's taught them. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you're doing in the lives of your church, of the church, and specifically in the lives of these young men who have taken on this task, a challenging task, one that comes with serious implications to handle the Word of God accurately. And so we commit this time to you and pray that you speak through them clearly. And Lord, most of all, that you're glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Well, good morning, everyone. All right, so children can be dismissed for children's church. All right, so we're going to be talking about what it means to be strong and courageous. It's easier to be strong and courageous when things are going well, but when things go wrong, that's when we find out if we truly have strength and courage. So an Italian violinist named Niccolo Paganini is thought to have been history's greatest exponent of his art. And as he swept through Europe in the early 1800s, his fame was something like that of Beatlemania. His skills were incomparable. It's said that one evening, Paganini was performing before a packed house, and as he started playing his piece, one of the strings on the violin snapped. But he kept going, thinking nothing of it, and then the second string snapped. That's a pretty big deal, because that's classical pieces are hard to play on four strings, let alone two. And as he kept going, the unbelievable happened. A third string snapped. So now he only had one. And he completed his piece, and the audience gave him a standing ovation at the end. But he wasn't finished yet. There was the encore to come. So he raised his violin above his head. He was like, I'm not done yet. Stick around a little bit. So with that, the orchestra struck up, and he completed his classical piece on just one string. Now, I play the viola, and that's kind of like a violin. And that's hard. I mean, I couldn't do that. But so Paganini was playing a magnificent but eventually flawed violin. Yet even with three strings broken, the master musician was able to extract beautiful music from it. You and I are like flawed instruments in the hands of God. But no matter how broken or flawed we are, God can still use us to do awesome things when we commit to serving to him. So this was the case for Joshua. Joshua was born into Egyptian slavery. His father's name was Nun, from the tribe of Ephraim, and we don't know much about his mom, or anything, really. And Joshua was originally named Osha, or Hosha, which means salvation. Eventually, Moses changed his name to Joshua, which means Jehovah is our salvation. Joshua was a slave in Egypt and Moses' successor during the journey of the nation of Israel. Joshua led in the battle with Amalek, an enemy of Israel. He was one of the two spies that were sent into Canaan to spy out the land. And he believed that the nation of Israel should enter Canaan and take possession of it when the nation of Israel rebelled in disbelief. This reveals what kind of a man Joshua was. He wasn't afraid to do what was unpopular or what everybody else didn't want to do. Tradition says that Joshua was 85 years old when he took leadership of the Israelites. I think that's pretty amazing. Somebody 85 years old taking on a huge nation. And the conquest of the land took about 7 years in Joshua 1 through 12. And the remainder of his life was spent dividing up the inheritance of the nation of Israel. And he died at 110. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Joshua 1:1-9. That's what we're going to be looking at today. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with you, just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So Joshua had been singled out by God to be Moses' successor. In Exodus 17, Moses commands Joshua to take for himself men of Israel to fight against Amalek. This is Joshua's opportunity to demonstrate strength and courage. Without hesitation or challenging Moses or God, Joshua carried out God's plan. Moses' role was to take his place on top of a hill over the battle, and as long as he held his staff over his head, Joshua would prevail in the battle. And if the staff was lowered, Amalek would prevail. After the battle, Moses was told to remind Joshua that Amalek would be exterminated, blotting out any memory of him, and that Joshua was to write in his book. So in Numbers 27:15-23, God instructs Moses to ordain Joshua and delegate some of his authority to him. And in Deuteronomy 31:7, Moses gave a final word of blessing and encouragement to his friend Joshua. Clearly, Joshua must have known that he had been chosen by God for the task ahead of him. So let's pause here for a moment and just consider what is happening in Joshua's life and the possible anxiety he may have anticipated. So first of all, Joshua had big shoes to fill. I mean, after all, God spoke directly to Moses through a burning bush. God had performed miracles through Moses, sending plagues on the Egyptians, bringing the Israelites out of slavery, separating the sea so the Israelites could escape the Egyptian army. He provided providing manna and birds to eat, and then having water gush out of a rock. I mean, Moses' relationship with God was pretty good. And he worked amazingly through Moses. And you can imagine the inadequacy that Joshua may have been feeling. And this role that Joshua took would be like one of us becoming president of the United States. It's huge and very important responsibility, and you wouldn't want to mess up. So in Joshua 1:2-4, I'm going to read that section again. If Moses, my servant, is dead, now therefore arise. Cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. Just as I spoke to Moses from the wilderness of this and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. So Joshua didn't have to carry out the instructions that God gave to Moses. God instructed Joshua personally to lead the Israelites to the promised land. How encouraging and confidence-building would that be to someone who just assumed leadership over a nation to receive instruction directly from God? And God told them that they would inherit the land and take possession of it. Yet God promised that the land would be the Israelites' territory. And in Joshua 1:5, it says, "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you." So God said that in spite of all the enemies in the land, that none of them would stand before the Israelites. They were all to be removed. And he promised that no matter what happens or what they go through, he will never forsake them. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Joshua 1:6-9, if you're not already there. So it says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land, which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So not only did God encourage Joshua to be strong and courageous, but he also reminded Joshua of the importance of meditating on the book of the law, morning and night, so that Joshua could be obedient and experience blessing in his life. So again, God gave Joshua the promise of his presence. He will never leave him or forsake him. So turn with me to 1 Chronicles 28:20. It's another reminder of God promising his presence with us. So it says, "Then David said to his son Solomon, 'Be strong and courageous and act. Do not fear or be dismayed, for the Lord your God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished.'" So then in another verse, if you guys want to just mark it, it's a promise to us in Hebrews 13:5-6. And men change and times change, but God does not. So the people of Israel had a promise from God that they would take possession of the promised land that God swore to give them by their fathers. And the Israelites were probably a little excited and about this promise, as well as a little scared. I mean, after all, the land that the Israelites were to inherit was immense. And they already sent spies into the promised land, and they knew that it was beautiful, flowing with milk and honey. And they knew that the nations living in the promised land would probably not leave very easily. The resident nations were more than likely residing in well-fortified cities with high walls. But trusting in their faithful God the Israelites pushed forward, and God fulfilled his promise to them. Joshua 12 recounts the many kings defeated by Israel. The Israelites received their promised land just as God had said they would. So what does being strong and courageous look like in our everyday lives? Do we act the same way at home that we do in public? And what about at school? Do we conform to the norm of secular society? Or do we set a godly example of the conduct that Christians should have? And what about at work? How do you show courage at work? And what about your faith? Are you the person who is willing to share your faith? Or are you someone who's just, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm not comfortable talking about it? I want to encourage you. You have the most precious, most important gift in the whole world, salvation. Be ready and willing to share it anytime, anywhere. To live the life that God has for us, it takes courage. It's not easy. But every struggle makes us stronger. Having the courage to do the right thing is rare, and we as Christians, we may have or we will face trials and persecution for our faith, but we need to remain strong in God and his promise to us that he will always be with us. Joshua 1:8 is very clear. We need to meditate on God's word every day, and which leads me to my next question. How often are we in the Bible? Every day, every other day? Or not at all. The Bible is our compass. It's what keeps us on the right course in our life. And the Word of God is to be read and meditated on day and night and obeyed. And if Joshua could conquer all of Canaan with the first five books of the Bible, how much more should our lives be characterized by victory? The busy schedule that Joshua kept didn't keep him from the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and is life-changing. Whatever our motivation for reading God's Word, whether it's something we do out of love for our God or just something, you know, as a discipline to get into the routine of it, you know, we should cherish that, you know. And God assures us in James 4 through 8, or just 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We can each draw near to God in our daily lives by reading his word. Our strength and courage comes from God through prayer, the Holy Spirit, and by reading his word. And I'll have Josiah come on up.
So what is true courage, and how do we get it? Well, what better place to go than when we have questions than into the Bible? And so I'm going to read the verses in Joshua 1, 6, and 7. It says, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you might deserve to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand to the left, that you may be prosper wherever you go." Now let's look at first the verse 6. It says, "Be strong and of good courage," and it goes on. But what does that strong say? What does that strong mean before that? What is strong? See, I was looking into it, and you know, I think, you know, most times we think of strength, you know, we think of our physical strength, and we think, you know, spiritual strength. But what's interesting to this is when I looked into what a strong means, it actually meant more of an encouragement. It said, take hold, strengthen in. And so with this, God was encouraging Joshua to be courageous. He was more of encouraging, and it wasn't like it was not a command, but it was still a command, but it was an encouraging command. And so He knows that sometimes we might fail. He knows that sometimes we have rough times, but he is more of encouraging us to be strong, courageous than anything else. And so let's continue. In the next verse, it says, in verse 7, he says, only be strong and very courageous. Now, this strong is the same as the other one, you know, strengthen in, be of good courage. But what is courage? What does being courageous mean? You know, some people might think being courageous is having no fear. But is it really having no fear, or is it doing something even though you might be afraid of it? You know, with all this, you know, we can be afraid of something, and if we do it, we have courage. But if you're not afraid of it, it's just doing something. And so and then he commands him to do something. You know, after this, he commands him to observe the law, and he goes on. You know, God has commanded us to do one thing. You know, one thing that's really important he commanded us to do at the very end of his life. He came back to say this. It was awesome. He came back and he said in Matthew 16:15, he says this. He says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, this takes a lot of courage. It's hard to do. But it is important to do because God commanded us. You know, see, God commanded in this part, he commanded Joshua to observe the law, you know. And that law was really the 5 books of the Bible that he had. But now we have the whole Bible, and we should be observing the whole Word of God. And see, doing something like witnessing takes a lot of courage. And it's hard to do sometimes. And with that, I'm going to share how I started to witness and how I learned how to go out and witness. See, there's one time, you know, the first time I witnessed was by this. One time a friend of mine, Mr. LaBelle, invited me to go witnessing in a parade. We went out and we handed tracts during the parade. And see, after that, we went to the park. And you know, see, handing out tracts to me, it doesn't seem that much witnessing, but it does do some. But having a real conversation with somebody really challenges the faith and is really the hard thing to do. And so I went and I started going along, you know, and I wasn't really wanting to talk at all or anything. And so I just listened to the conversations this guy had with the people. And he witnessed, you know, in such a way of love and with an open mind and reasoning with them and telling them what the Word of God said. And so with this, it was such amazing to hear all these conversations that afterwards, when I went home, I wanted to hear more of these conversations. So I asked him if he would go out with me and start witnessing. And so I went out and witnessed with him, and he started making me more witness than him, you know, make me say something. And see, I was still afraid and everything, but it was more of curiosity, and it was more of wanting to hear more of how he witnessed. And see, after that, he became a missionary, so he started going out and raising support for that. And so when he did that, I actually went and I took the next most spiritual person I knew. I took the pastor. And I started going out witnessing with him, you know. I wanted someone who knew what they were talking about, you know. And with that, though, it's interesting how it changed from curiosity into realizing that I needed a witness because God had commanded me to. I needed a witness because of the people out there who have no hope, no reason to live life. And, you know, God is awesome, and he'll help you to do stuff like that. And what I found out and I realized is, even though if you think you're alone, if you think you're not with, you know, even if you don't have a friend, you're not alone because the Holy Spirit is there. Do you realize when you're afraid of doing something for God, you know, he's there with you. You are not alone. You know, that's the whole reason he sent this Holy Spirit, to strengthen you, to give you courage. And yes, it's hard to do, but it's needed to be done. And so with that, What happened in our passage today? What happened with Joshua? You know, the Israelites went forward and they went into with Moses. You know, they went to the Promised Land and they were afraid. They didn't want to go in. They had reasons and they just didn't want to go in. They were afraid. And so then they went and they went for 40 years. You know, they wandered. But then the second time, Joshua just did it. He just went and did it. He didn't hesitate. He didn't, you know, he had fear. He probably had fear, but he still did it because that's what God commanded him to do. And that's how we should be strong and courageous. If we just do it, God will do the rest. And see, if you go farther in the Bible, you know, more to our time, you know, Peter, you know, God, when he died and he came back to life, and so the apostles were out on a boat, and they were in a storm, and Jesus comes out on the storm, and he calls Peter to come to him, come walk out, you know, and Peter goes, and he just does it. He just starts walking out to God. He just takes a leap of faith, and it is awesome because with that, he had courage. And though, you know, after you hear, you know, the story of while that's going along, he goes and he loses faith and he has fear. But see, Jesus was there. Jesus is there for us. He went and he helped him. You know, I've had hard times, and, you know, this word is difficult. And these hard times, you know, it's hard to not lose faith. But if we just do what God has commanded us, have courage, we can do some amazing things. You know, if we go to do the impossible for God, then the impossible will happen because Jesus is there, the Holy Spirit is there. And so no matter how hard life gets, no matter what happens in our lives, we just have to do it, and God will do the rest. So with that, no matter how hard life gets, all we have to do is just do it, and God will do the rest. And so I'm going to close in a prayer as the worship team comes up to do our the song. Lord, you are awesome, Lord. If we just do what you say, we can do amazing things with you, Lord. You know, our God is mighty, and you can show yourself to the world through us. And with you, we can do the impossible. And just help us to do that. Help us to go out and just do what you have commanded us to do and do whatever you have laid onto our hearts. And in Jesus' name, amen.
So, just out of curiosity, how many of you guys, when you've read that story in Scripture, heard that passage quoted, have convinced yourself that Joshua was a young man when he took that on? Do you guys realize the implications of that? When we're faced with trials, when we're faced with difficulty, when we're faced with a culture and a society that many times seems to deny the truth of Scripture, to deny a God who actually desires to save us, may even deny that there's an eternity. How challenging is it for us to be strong and courageous, to live in light of that truth, and to act on it? I think many of us could quote the passage these two young men have exposited this morning. We've heard it before. We recognize, we cognitively see, okay, I need to be strong and courageous. Maybe you even tell yourself that in the middle of a hard time. But does that flesh itself out in action? Does that become reality? And so maybe today, as you think about what these guys have said, you have to ask yourself the question, what is it that's keeping you from being strong and courageous? What is it that's keeping you from following after God's leading for your life? What is it that's keeping you from stepping out in obedience and recognizing just what Josiah closed with? If God has promised to do according to his will, then what do we have to fear? And Satan loves to play off of our fears. He loves to try and bring us to a place where we have no courage, we have no strength. And in those moments, we conform to exactly what the world desires us to. And so, as we close today and think about this, I want you to think personally for you, what is it in your life that you're, where in your life are you having trouble stepping out and being courageous? Where in your life are you lacking strength? And then ask yourself the question, why? Why have I come to a place where I am no longer trusting God for whatever this is, but rather have trusted myself to accomplish this? And just as Joshua, a man who'd seen a lot of life, was commanded to be strong and courageous, so you, the church, are commanded to do the same. In the darkness, in the times when we don't know what to say or what to do, we serve a God who does. And so just as these guys have presented, be strong and courageous and just do it. Step out in obedience and fulfill God's calling on your life, no matter what that means.